You are listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome Garrett Johnson, City Planner, City of Charlotte. Welcome, Garrett.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's our pleasure. So we'll get right into it. Charlotte is a big city in population. It's twice as big as the city of Atlanta, and it's growing. Nearly 60 people a day move here from all over the world, really, much less states that are in the United States. According to the city's planning director, more than a million people already live in Mecklenburg County. All of that growth has the city has leaders working out a comprehensive plan. Can you give us an introduction level explanation of the comprehensive plan, and then we'll get into more granular details.
Sure. Our Charlotte Future 2040 comprehensive plan is the first comprehensive plan the city has had since 1975. Wow. So probably before a lot of our listeners were even born. So with a city that's growing as fast as Charlotte, obviously, you really need to plan for that growth and development and make sure that it's happening in such a way that everybody in the community is benefiting and that everybody has a share in that future. So the comprehensive plan really looks at the physical development of the city out over the next 20 years, out to 2040 and really beyond that. And it brings together a lot of other plans for things like transportation and greenways and parks. All of those kind of together so that we take a coordinated look at the future for the city and make sure all of those things are being leveraged and working together and we're all moving in the same direction.
Fantastic. So when's the last time a comprehensive plan was developed here in Charlotte?
1975.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Now, we've had a lot of other plans since then, but they might be focused on one area of the city, or they might be focused on one function, like a parks and recreation plan. Mm-hmm. But something that looks at the city more holistically, it's been a long time.
How is that different than a unified development ordinance?
The Unified Development Ordinance, and a lot of people have heard about this, it's UDO. If you hear UDO, that's the Unified Development Ordinance. And that's the regulations. That's the regulations that will help implement the plan. For example, one piece of the UDO, or the Unified Development Ordinance, is an update of our zoning ordinance, which that ordinance hasn't been updated since 1992 in a very holistic manner. So the Unified Development Ordinance is the regulations.
Okay.
The comprehensive plan is more the vision, the policy. It's guidance, whereas the UDO and the regulations are law. They're requirements.
So in the past, Charlotte has had segments of area plans along with centers and wedges. Where do these fall short, and how does the vision plan seek to tie them all together?
Well, since the comprehensive plan was done in 1975, and we've done a lot of plans, land use plans, area plans, neighborhood plans that focus on parts of the city. So we have very recent policy and plans for some areas of the city, but not for the city overall. So the comprehensive plan brings everybody up to that same level so that everybody, all parts of the community, have that recent policy guidance so that when decisions are made about things like rezonings, about where we spend our capital investment dollars for sidewalks, streets, bike lanes, those sorts of things, we have recent policy guidance for everybody, for every part of our community.
On your listening tour, you've heard from residents about what's important to them. How do they tell you? What do they tell you?
What do they tell us?
Yes.
They tell us a lot. This first phase of the comprehensive plan process, which ran from probably this past fall of 2018, and we're just wrapping up now in May of 2019, we were out in the community asking people what they wanted for the future of Charlotte. And we started not with a blank slate. We actually went out with things we had already heard, and we asked people to react to those. And they reacted to those and said, yes, but we want more. Things like transportation improvements, and not just for streets, but for bicycles and pedestrians. They want a safe city. They want a clean city. They want education. They want an equitable city, a fair city, a diverse city, one that's inclusive of everybody, that recognizes the various cultures here. So there's a long list. And in fact, our first phase of the process, like I said, is just wrapping up. And we have put together what we call a vision and goals framework. And we have a survey out now that asks people to verify what we heard. You know, you told us a lot. Now, here is a survey to confirm that. Here's the vision. Here's 8 goals. What do you think?
Is the concept of new urbanism important to them, to residents?
When you talk about new urbanism, I don't know that that was something, those words were something that people said, but they talked about things that are part of new urbanism. They talked about connections and being able to walk and being able to bike, being able to have access to jobs and shopping and recreation close by. And that's really what new urbanism is about, having more compact development, more walkable, bikeable development, and more accessibility.
Then there is a push and pull between wanting infill and avoiding gentrification. Can we have it both ways?
That was a big thing we heard as we went out in the community. In fact, it was one of the things we asked people to react to. Particularly in terms of displacement, involuntary displacement, because as you invest in areas, property values increase, and people that maybe have lived there for a long time can't afford to live there anymore. And so the neighborhood's changing. But how do we ensure that people that live in the neighborhoods, if they choose to stay, they can? So I think you can make improvements, but you also have to be intentional about providing other programs and ways for people to be able to stay in their neighborhoods. One of the things we're looking at is to allow more diversity of housing types so that people can age in place. The city also has an aging in place program where they're helping people to be able to afford the taxes on their property as they age. So it's not one solution.
And I will say, I'm actually, me and my sister are exploring options for our mother, who is, you know, she's getting in, but she's less mobile and less steady on her feet. And we're trying to look at what the next step looks like for her. And I got to tell you, I mean, every option that we look at is just outrageously expensive with regard to retirement living.
Yeah.
Age in place is looking more and more attractive, assuming we could figure out how to make that work. So, I mean, I'm glad to hear that that's something that you guys are trying to tackle along with the multitudes of other things you're including in your comprehensive plan.
Yeah, we think it's really important because as you age, you want to stay in the neighborhood where you have lived sometimes all your life. That's where your support network is. That's what you're used to, that your friends. You know the area. You don't want to leave. So if you choose to, you should be able to choose to stay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And how do we tie it all together with the comprehensive plan, all of the various aspects of the plan and pulling it all together? How do you do that?
It's not an easy task. Perhaps that's why we haven't done it since 1975. But we will have a lot of conversations in the community. Like I said, this first step was identifying those visions, those goals, what it is we want at the end of the process, and then charting that path to get there. We're very intent with the comprehensive plan to have policies, great policies that push us, but also that can be implemented and that we can monitor and make sure that we're getting where we said we wanted to go. But I think that it really is going to take a lot of involvement from the community to keep us on path and to make sure that we're addressing those needs in a way that makes sense for everybody.
So affordable housing is obvious. It's something that what we want to see. We want to see more options that are affordable in the city of Charlotte. Is there anything that has been presented to you as seems like it might solve that problem?
that's a problem that's going to take more than one solution for sure. Mm-hmm. And I know our neighborhood and business services department has a lot of programs that they're looking at. They've recently, council adopted the housing framework, which addresses affordable housing. Part of that is council devoting money to affordable housing. You know, we have bonds that passed last year. So all of that is maybe a package of solutions, but the comprehensive plan and probably everything the city does and everything our community does should look at how do we solve some of those major issues and what part can we play in it. So with the comprehensive plan, what part can the comprehensive plan play in helping to solve that affordable housing crisis? And yeah, we're going to look at a lot of different ways that that might happen. One of the ways that we've been talking about a little bit over the last couple of months is allowing more of a diversity of housing types in our neighborhoods. We recently brought in some people from other communities that had kind of expanded the uses that they could do in their single-family zoning district to allow duplexes, triplexes, sometimes quadruplexes.
It seems like, I will tell you, I think that we have a shortage of duplex, triplex, fourplex. In my opinion, being in real estate, I just don't. We have some, but and we have some new ones coming online. But it seems like, in particular, on corner lots and neighborhoods close to town, there's plenty of opportunity for developers or investors to take maybe tear down, you know, an old single family home and put up a three or fourplex. And is that process, from what you're aware, is that process an easy process to get it rezoned for that multifamily?
Right now, you can do duplexes on corner lots in single-family zoning districts if you meet the setback, the yard requirements and all of that. But what we would like to do is open that up more so that it wouldn't be so difficult. Because, like you said, you've looked at some of our most popular neighborhoods, the Dilworths, the Elizabeths, older neighborhoods, where they have the duplexes, triplexes, quads interspersed with the single family homes.
And they're able to sell those for lower because they can make the numbers work, which is great. You know, you're able to, for people that might want to live in, let's just say Dilworth, where they maybe don't have to get something comparable in a single family home, they might have to spend, let's just say $500,000, but maybe on a threeplex or fourplex, someone can get in there for $350,000 and still enjoy all of the, you know, the benefits of living in this, you know, in Dilworth or in Charlotte, walkability.
Right. And some of those provide another option. I don't know your mother, so I don't know what her capabilities are, but something like that in some neighborhoods could really offer an opportunity for somebody that can't live in a single family home anymore, maybe can't take care of the yard and all of that, and actually needs close by neighbors.
Yeah.
So it opens up the market and provides more diversity in our neighborhoods.
Definitely, definitely. So I believe we're in phase two of the overhaul now. Growth scenarios and place types. How far along is that in the process, and when can we expect to see the comprehensive plan presented to council?
So we just kicked off phase two really internally and working on those growth scenarios, which will be really important. We're looking at developing some case studies now, how other cities have chosen to grow, so that kind of educate us, look for best practices, pros and cons of those growth strategies. And we're incorporating those all into what we call a growth game, Growing Better Places, and which will roll out next month in June to allow the community to start rolling up their sleeves and telling us where they want growth to go and how they want that growth to happen. And it's a game that you actually play to do that. So it's kind of a fun way to do it rather than sometimes planners like myself go out into the community and we present a PowerPoint and we ask people questions and use a lot of jargon, and it's not very fun. But the game, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to get a lot of people together, push it out in the community. You can check it out and play it with your friends and family if you want. And that will give us some input into what Charlotteans think about growth in the future. How would they like to grow? That will inform our alternative growth scenarios. And from there, we'll choose a growth scenario for Charlotte. and then we'll enter phase three of the plan. So you asked, when would a plan be ready for city council? We'll have a draft plan ready for the community to look at and weigh in on next summer. So this is 2019-2020, and that will go through a process of allowing the community to look at, talk, and then in the spring of 2021 is when council would actually adopt it. So we built in about, 6 months there, I think, for people to weigh in, play with it, test it, maybe make some changes. So in most situations, we'd have the draft plan done and adopted a month later, something like that. But we really feel like it's important to kind of test it out.
That's I love that you know, how you're exploring various opportunities and how to present what you're working on with regard to the plan. And so it doesn't, you know, like you said, you get caught up in, you know, speeches and sort of getting through the material. But are there any other fun and unique ways that you're trying to get the message out with regard to the plan?
Yeah, and I should mention with that game, there'll also be an online version for those that maybe don't want to come out to a game night and eat pizza, but want to stay at home and do it on their computer. We'll have that as well. But one of the things with the comprehensive plan is we're really looking at it through an equity lens. So we want to engage all segments of our community. And to do that, we can't really just have a big meeting and expect everybody to come out. Not everybody can make it to meetings, although we're trying to take down barriers by providing childcare and food and transportation and interpretation. Still, people cannot always come to a meeting, so we're doing a lot online, mm-hmm. and we're also going to a lot of places where people are. We're going to festivals and block parties and coffee houses and churches and breweries and workplaces and shopping places, everywhere we can go. We've been welcomed with open arms to a lot of different places, too. So, you know, kudos to the community for inviting us out. It's actually, in a lot of times, more invitations than we can fulfill.
Wow.
So it's been really great. Yeah. People are very interested and are giving us a lot of good feedback.
That's excellent. And we very much appreciate the work you do for the city of Charlotte as planner, but as well being here today to help get the word out. So for those that are listening that want more information with regard to the comprehensive plan, where should they go to get that?
They should go to our website at charlottefuture.com. And you do /2040, you get right there. But you want to do charlottefuture.com, we'll get you there. And there's a lot of great information about where we're going to be. We call them pop-ups, where we go to festivals and other places if you want to come out and talk to us. You can also sign up to be a plan ambassador. And soon, coming soon, will be our strategic advisor group. And you'll be able to sign up to kind of help us as we craft the policies and the plan and as we look at different growth scenarios. So lots of opportunities to be involved. CharlotteFuture.com.
Fantastic. Well, Garrett, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
It's our pleasure. So with that, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. Scott Pridemore, have a good day.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at pridemoreproperties.com.